The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Bye, guys. Swaggle. Let's go.
I like the suit.
Nasty running with the 84 on.
It just what? Don't look. He knows what I'm saying. It's football stuff. He doesn't look right running with number
Guess
84
what?
On.
I was a
yes,
tight end.
You look right yeah. right now.
Thank you.
No, so, it was a tight end.
Hold yeah. on. Hold on. Hold on. Because I'm getting emotional right now, you know, because my boys are here. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing you see Keyshawn got that mean mug for everybody else, but when he with me, he's smiling because I'm his boy. You understand what I'm saying? I can get away with stuff with Keyshawn people can't get away with. And then my man Swaggo, too. I mean,
I
this is a beautiful, beautiful
What's
day.
The last and here's, time the, I
thing,
saw you
and here's the thing. They both got
Months.
On nice
Maybe
shades.
A year.
They both
Maybe
got on nice shades of blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
but
guys look very
But
nice.
It's not Cowboys. And that's the most important thing to point out. It's not Cowboys blue.
You look good, man.
That's right.
You look good.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
No, you
that's
both
right.
do. Look
that's
nice.
Right. Big man ball. Big man ball.
All right. Ball. Let's get it, guys.
I'm glad I see the infamous chain in person.
Oh, yeah.
sometimes
he wears two.
You got to lean in over the first button.
Ravens traded wide receiver Hollywood Brown to that's the Cardinals right. in exchange for Arizona's first-round pick. Can we do some work with prompted quarterback Lamar Jackson to post several unhappy tweets about the deal? Can't hide money. Meanwhile, the Packers did not get Aaron Rodgers any help at all in the first round, selecting two defensive players with their first-round picks. Rodgers spoke on the Pat McAfee show about that and about losing Davante Adams during the offseason. Listen up.
I know that they really liked Wyatt early on and were wondering if he was going to be there at either pick, I believe. And when the linebacker was there in the 20s and all six of those receivers, I believe it was six who they had first-round grades on, were gone. I think it was pretty obvious that they wanted to shore up those two spots in their mind. It was a little surprising with Davante. Obviously, when I made my decision, I was still thinking he was going to come back. You know, I was very honest with him about my plans and my future and where I saw, you know, my career going as far as how many years I wanted to play. It's a tough business. It's a wonderful profession. There's a lot of things that happen that surprise you. I thought that based on the number that we offered Davante and, you know, being able to play with me for a few more years would definitely make a difference.
Big Swaggo, I'll start with you here. Who should be more disappointed, Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson? It's good to see he's back doing his appearances.
Aaron Rodgers, because he's more impacted by pass catchers. Mm-hmm. Like, Lamar ain't relying on pass catchers nearly close to what Aaron Rodgers need him to do. And then there's two, like, the whole conversation for the last 2 years been about weapons in
yes.
Green Bay.
Yes.
And obviously with Devontae's departure, everybody assumed that this would be a wide receiver. And we talked about it leading up in the week. And Kia, we were on together. I said, the Green Bay Packers should be packaging these trades to go up and get a wide receiver. Because it's not only about Aaron Rodgers at this point. Aaron Rodgers might come in the facility next after this season and say, I'm done. And you got to go get a great player offensively for whatever quarterback you're going to bring in there. So it's not even close to me. Lamar Jackson and Marquise Brown have a great relationship. They really good friends. They like hanging out with each other. They drove to games together. So from a personal standpoint, Lamar is hurt and upset that Marquise gone. Lamar Jackson can still be the MVP without Hollywood Brown being there. I think Aaron Rodgers needs some pass catchers.
You know, Aaron Rodgers has had one first-round pick that he threw balls to that the Packers have drafted, and that was Javon Walker. One. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it tells me he can get away with not having a top-notch wide receiver. Second-round, third-round, fourth-round guys, they can always develop them with a great quarterback.
Yeah.
No question about it. You say Lamar can still be the MVP. No, he can't. Because you got to be able to push the ball down the field some. When he was the MVP, it wasn't all on his legs. He was putting the ball in the air, Marcus.
Key, but that
he was putting the ball in the air, big dog.
But that's Mark Andrews has been a leading receiver.
Every single year since he's been in the league at the quarterback position, what is the one thing that we always say, just like Aaron Rodgers?
Evolution of the passing
game. Got an evolution of the passing game. They need a big-time wide receiver. Hollywood Brown last year had 90-plus catches, 1,000 yards, was certainly on his way to looking like a guy who was a second versus a third receiver in the league. They now got rid of this dude. So what does that do to Lamar Jackson? It stunts his growth as a quarterback.
But they drafted Bateman last year to be the one.
Bateman wasn't nowhere to be seen.
He was injured, came back and played 12 games.
He played 12 games.
I didn't say anything about... I said nowhere to be seen.
Okay.
He wasn't out there balling or doing nothing.
So you think Lamar more impacted?
I think he's certainly more impacted.
Oh, man.
Certainly more impacted. Oh. And on top of that, from a mental standpoint, because that's his friend, because he's driving to and from games, you know what it's like in the league when you lose your best friend alongside of you.
That matters.
Think about it. A guy that you've been with every single day, whether it's offseason in Miami, hanging out in Baltimore, and he's gone, or it tears you completely apart. Mm-hmm. Look what happened to OBJ and Landry. Mm-hmm. OBJ left and Landry just kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just what happens.
I don't disagree with you. My whole point is I just got a different spin on this Wagyu because you weren't here for the first segment. My belief is this. I think that when you look at Baltimore, Baltimore has been a bit short-sighted when it comes to making sure you take care of Lamar Jackson by ensuring that he has the weapons that he needs to flourish. You're looking at his running ability. You're taking that for granted because he's so electrifying with the football, running the football, that you don't take into account what he needs in terms of weapons out on that field to really distribute the football to. You got Mark Andrews. Hollywood Brown was a 1,000-yard receiver. Bateman needs to develop more and what have you. But the bottom line is we haven't seen enough weapons around him for you to let go of somebody like a Hollywood Brown, in my estimation.
Yeah.
I think in the Green Bay Packers, you're right, but I think they did it on purpose. See, here's their thing. We did it your way. You was making all this noise, Aaron Rodgers, about us. Well, you had Devontae Adams, and you had Valdez Scantling, and you had Lazar, and you had Tonyan, even though he got hurt. And you got Aaron Jones, okay? Aaron Jones in the backfield, all right, along with Dylan. You got all these weapons, and you still gave us 10 points in a divisional playoff game.
I'm glad
on
you
our
said.
Home, on our home field. Against porn star Jimmy. I mean, come on now. And so the bottom line is, they sat up there and said, we going to sit up there and we going to handle our business on the defensive side of the ball. We gave you all this money. You're supposed to be Aaron Rodgers, right? You're supposed to be that dude. Figure it out. You and Mr. Matt LaFleur. You know, you the offensive coordinator formerly in Tennessee, even though you were the 27th-ranked defense, you still got the head coaching job. You got 13-4 seasons on your resume. Your background is offensive. You got to sit up there. You got the head coach. You got the quarterback. Okay, figure it out. That's what I think Green Bay is saying, Aaron
Rodgers. I'm going to flip you real quick. Okay. Come on my side, on the dark side with me.
Sure.
Young quarterbacks, what is it that general managers and head coaches do for young quarterbacks? They go out and they get top-notch receivers.
Yeah.
They go get Stephon Diggs. We just saw the Philadelphia Eagles acquire A.J. Brown to make Jalen Hurts good. They just took a guy away from Lamar Jackson. Think about it. They just took him away.
Wait, Key and Stephen A., come on, man. Let's be honest about what we watch with between these teams.
Okay.
What team is more predicated on throwing the football?
That's the Green Bay.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's true.
That's the only answer.
They believe in Aaron Rodgers, though?
Yes, absolutely.
But this is what you can't use.
But schematically, Stephen A., you're not asking Lamar Jackson to be that. But Marcus, hold on.
That makes sense.
Keyshawn, your argument is that Aaron Rodgers will cover a multitude of sins. But
absolutely.
To what extent? The goal is to win Super Bowl. Can they win a Super Bowl with what they have?
And to that point, you talk about the Green Bay San Francisco game. Devontae Adams had 90 yards in the first half. They took him away, and the Green Bay Packers couldn't score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, moving around like, oh, we cool, we got Aaron Rodgers. Our last sample size is when Devontae Adams was taken away by the San Francisco 49ers, they could not get in the end zone. Now, am I saying Aaron Rodgers ain't great? No. I'm saying when you look at the NFL right now, who's Aaron Rodgers going to beat? With them weapons, if they get to
Super Bowl.
Hold on now. But when you take it from a macro perspective, and I'm just throwing it out.
Okay.
Your point's valid. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, very valid.
It's very valid. Both of y'all, I'm not questioning that. Y'all are the football dudes. Y'all know.
Okay.
I'm just reporting on it.
Okay.
Here's my point to you. I suspect, I'm like, if you went through, if you were the executive, if you were Gutekunst in Green Bay, and you went through what you went through with Aaron Rodgers. And you heard all that jibber-jabbering about, you know what, being treated with respect, understanding, right? And then you gave him what he asked. I mean, Randall Cobb was brought back to the team because of Aaron Rodgers.
Let's think
about this here, right? So I gave you everything you needed. And this is what you did, right? And now here we are. We're in the situation. We were willing to offer Davante Adams this money, but we hesitated. Obviously, he left to go with his boy Derek Carr right here in Las Vegas, okay? So the situation is what it is. Is it beyond the realm of comprehension that they sat up there and said, you Aaron Rodgers, you got a running game. You got an offensive line. You supposed to be that dude. We still got Lazard here. I know Valdez Scantlin left and Davante Adams is going, but you supposed to be that dude. So we going to take care of this side of the ball.
Yeah.
What you going to do? Is that beyond the realm of comprehension?
All right.
No, they're not sabotaging the situation.
I didn't say sabotage.
Well,
I said they're leaning. He could be frustrated
that they didn't package them picks and go up and get a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like we all can.
Right.
Like we all thought Green Bay needed. But ultimately, this goes back to the conversation we've been having for 3-4 years.
Okay.
What has the Green Bay Packers front office done so damn wrong?
Nothing. So
they draft defensive players, and we heard Aaron say the receivers were gone, right? But now you're in a 3-year window, hopefully, to win a Super Bowl. We all agree that when they gave him $150 million, this was about winning a Super Bowl, right?
We said that it was about him.
Him winning a Super Bowl.
Him winning a Super Bowl is what we all agreed on. Okay.
So now y'all telling me that without his best weapon.
He can still win a Super Bowl. Is that what you're getting ready to say?
Yeah.
The draft ain't over. I just want to point that out. I know, Marcus, it's not over yet.
Okay.
It's not over yet.
It ain't over till it's over. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Time for some East Coast draft headlines. The Eagles made a marquee move in acquiring wideout A.J. Brown from the Titans. The G-men, meanwhile, made a pair of top 10 selections, including Evan Neal from Alabama. Dallas and Washington each made one pick in round one. The question is, are the Eagles passing the Cowboys in the NFC East? Swaggo, you get to start again because you're our fresh take here in the second hour.
No, they're not. And I won't say anybody will. I think Dak Prescott is still the best quarterback. And it proved to be true last year when I fought everybody. Washington football team.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia
Commanders.
Eagles. Look at them sneaking up. Yeah, the Commanders now. But this really boils down to what Philly is doing. Trajectory-wise, is at a faster rate of getting better than the Cowboys. Now, ultimately, what the Cowboys did in the draft was a huge need with what they lost at left guard. Now, can the kid play? Tyler Smith is who they drafted. He had 12 holding penalties last year. That was an issue for the departing guard, Connor Williams. But ultimately, this comes back to Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And this year in particular, I am going to hold – y'all know how much I love Dak Prescott. But Dak Prescott got to be held accountable this year in particular because you have to reach a point now where you got your contract, you have to overcome what you don't have. That's the expectation. I gave you a year because of your ankle – and you coming back off of missing the entire football season.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular year, because he said, I feel great. The offseason is going well. I'm available. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott has to overcome whatever the Dallas Cowboys lack personnel-wise based on who he is and who he should be in the NFC East.
Here's where I'm not going to say I disagree with you. What I will say is that, first of all, this is the NFC East that we're talking about here. And somehow, some way, even though the Dallas Cowboys did not play against down to the competition last year, they shellacked the Eagles in two meetings. History tells us you don't get away with that 2 years mm-hmm. in a row. You don't do what they did to the Eagles last year, and then you turn around and you do that this year. I expect stiffer competition in that regard. That's number one. Number two, Amari Cooper is gone, and I understand there were times he didn't step up, but his veteran, you know, his skill set as a veteran, his route running, that can't be underestimated. Now you got to rely on Gallup, who's coming off an injury, along with C.D. Lamb. So there's question marks, because we know C.D. Lamb's a stud, but there are still question marks. Number three, Ezekiel Elliott didn't look the same last year. Still rushed for 1,000 yards, still averaged about 4.2 yards a carry, but didn't look the same. There was something that appeared to be missing. I'm not saying he's done. I don't believe that about Ezekiel Elliott, honestly. What I'm saying is, it does give you cause to pause, which, by the way, then turns around with the offensive line being seen as questionable because attrition has kicked in over the years. They're not the stout offensive line they used to be. So if I got a questionable, and not horrible or anything like that, but if I got a questionable offensive line, I got a questionable running back compared to what he used to be. I'm depleted to some degree at the wide receiver spot because I lost Amari Cooper, which forces me to be relying upon those other guys. That puts more pressure on Dak Prescott. Can he handle it? Sure. Has he handled it? No. And so I look at it from that perspective and I say, okay, I can understand people who put the Dallas Cowboys in front of everybody. I can understand those who don't. And when you look at the Eagles, the Devontae Smith, we're picking up this cat, A.J. Brown. It's going to come down to me. Jalen Hurts, are you ready to ascend to a point where you could give Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, and Daniel Jones a run for their money as to being the best quarterback in the NFC League? Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I would think he's already passed two of those.
Yeah, so do I.
And
so
Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones, no question.
Yeah, so do I.
But the question is, did the Eagles – are the Eagles passing the Cowboys in the NFC East? No, they're not passing them. They closed the gap some based on what Marcus said. Things left and things came to the Eagles. They pick up A.J. Brown. Yeah. We obviously know about Devontae Smith, the big defensive tackle, the space eater that they drafted up. Yeah, that makes sense. But the Cowboys still got core people in place. Ezekiel Elliott, Pollard, Dalton Schultz. The offensive line has been suspect, but something about veteran offensive lines, because they've been together, they know each other. Then on the defensive side, you got Diggs. You got Michael Parsons. They bring back the safety and curse. They bring back how you say his name?
Kadavius?
No, the safety kick.
All right.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Kadavius, whatever right. says
Go
name.
Ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
So that core is still intact. Mm-hmm. Second year with a defensive unit from Dan Quinn. Mm-hmm. All that gets put together, and you go out and you draft a guard that certainly they need, and they got other picks coming. So it's close, but they haven't.
Let me just say this quickly. Hold on one second. Because you were here. Dan Orlovsky earlier said that the Eagles had already passed the Cowboys even before draft night.
Man, that's Dan just talking.
Yeah, I know.
Sure he did.
Wait, so just so I know.
He said last year that the Washington football team was better than
Okay, so let me ask you this. So in that division, it's Eagles, Cowboys, and that's really it? Washington's not going to do anything. And I know you guys already said you're down on the Giants.
I'm not. Be careful about.
I like Washington
dismissing the Commanders.
Yeah, I like. Okay.
The only thing I can dismiss. Listen. Jason Wright, I'm happy that he's there, and Julie Donaldson and all these other. I've known them for years. Only thing I can't stand about the Commanders is two things: their name, because it stinks. I don't know why the hell they're so corny. You should have said the Washington Generals or something. The Commanders. This sound weak. I don't know who the hell came up with that. That's number one. And number two, Carson Wentz is your quarterback. I mean, we know. Listen, I talk about the Cowboys being an accident waiting to happen. I mean, Carson Wentz.
That's because you don't know. You don't know what Carson.
You don't know. But the answer. But the answer to the question.
I know.
The answer to the question is you bet on the most consistent thing. That's Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Like out of everything in this conference that we gonna talk about, the one common denominator we all agree on is that he the best quarterback.
Well, he is the best quarterback. But we all worry about Carson Wentz. What I'm gonna tell you, based on Ron Rivera's recipe. He ain't going to let Carson Wentz screw it up. He gonna try to run the ball down somebody's throat and dink and dunk and Chase Young go get that dude.
I will tell you this. I'm very happy that Keyshawn and Marcus are here on the record about the Cowboys, because it will be held against them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Them. Michael Irvin said the Cowboys are winning a Super Bowl.
Who the hell? Who cares?
And the Dallas Mavericks are winning a Super Bowl.
He got about as much credibility as Jamie Foxx with their Cowboy love themselves. Ain't nobody trying to listen to them.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. The fall continues from the disappointing ending to the Nets season after getting swept by the Boston Celtics. Kyrie's squad has been at the center of a lot of conversation, including on this show. Kyrie tweeting this yesterday. When I see my name or my brothers and sisters' names getting spun through the media, I refer to all my research about who they are. Their job is to control public perception, all while profiting off discussing, discrediting, and disrespecting people's lives for entertainment. He went on to say, I send shots at the puppet masters, not the puppets. All puppets do is run around society trying to gain popularity and state opinions. What a life. My name is worth billions to these corporations. My brothers and sisters who deal with this know exactly what I mean. Kendrick Perkins joining the show. Big Perk, here's my camera. Great to have you here, sir. You want to start
good
today?
To see you
want to start with Perk?
I already spoke. I want Kendrick Perkins. I want to hear what he has to say.
Perk, talk to me. Your response to what you just heard from Kyrie Irving, and obviously there were more tweets than what I just read.
I don't get it. I don't get it when it comes down to Kyrie and his Twitter fingers. And I say that to say this. Listen, you got swept by the Boston Celtics. You didn't win one game. What was that same energy when it was come between those lines against Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and those boys who the ones that gave you that spanking? But here's another thing about Kyrie and a lot of other players around the league. We're talking about the game of basketball, man. The game of basketball. Me, Kendrick Perkins, right? A Shaqtin' the Fool MVP when I was in the league. Made Shaqtin' the Fool plenty of times. Guess what? I went to sleep with the AC on 60 and the fan blowing in my face every damn night. Because at the end of the day, this is what I signed up for. And you know what's even more crazy to me? Who was Kyrie's mentor? Who did Kyrie look up to? Kobe. The late, great Kobe Bryant. And God rest his soul, but if Kobe Bryant was here, I'm pretty sure he would be disappointed in the way that Kyrie is handling this particular situation. You know, Kobe Bryant, when you talk about the Mamba mentality, Kobe Bryant, it wasn't always peaches and cream with Kobe. Kobe got criticized. Kobe took it like a man. Kobe bounced back in great fashion. Kobe Bryant was a guy that was the ultimate professional for his handling criticism, whether it was ups or downs. And to see Kyrie come out and lash out and his cop-out is going at media, right? Let me attack the media. Why you didn't attack Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart when you was between those lines? You had a good game one, a great game one. Then after that, we had to find you. We needed a flashlight. So I had to come on here, man, and I really didn't want to, you know, come on here and oh, let's go at another black man, because I hate when we're talking, when we're only talking basketball and somebody try to make it about black and white or make it about, oh, it's brothers are going against African Americans.
Right.
That is so disturbing to me. We're talking about basketball.
Kendrick Perkins, appreciate those sentiments. Don't disagree with you. But I'm going to go there because I think it's important. And you brought it up because I was going there anyway. So you led me to that. You know, that's exactly what makes Kyrie Irving this particular morning very disgusting. And I'm just going to say that way. We are talking about basketball, but that's not where Kyrie is trying to direct us. With his delusional tendencies notwithstanding, what he's trying to do is make this about a race thing and talking about brothers going up against brothers. Then he calls us puppets, but he's saying, hey, well, you know what? I'm going to point the finger at the puppet masters. So we puppets now because we don't agree with him and we're willing to hold him accountable for not showing up to do his job. We're talking about basketball, a job that he signed up for. But since he wants to go race, let's do that. I'm happy to have that discussion. Name the time and place. I'll show up. Kyrie can invite whoever he wants to. All right? Kyrie could come up here. I promise you, I'll do the same thing I did for Colin Kaepernick. You have an open invitation. You want to sit up here across from me for 2 hours? I give you 2 hours, unedited, live television. I dare you to try to sit across from me and justify the nonsense you put up. I double dare you. Okay? I'll come on your own damn podcast. Okay? I'll come on with you and KD. You can't defend what you do. You can't defend your inactivity, your negligence as a professional in terms of your unwillingness to show up to work. And when we get down to brothers, let's talk about that for a second. You know, Kendrick Perkins, love you, my brother. You know that. And got my man Swagoo here. I'm smiling all morning because I got brothers like Keyshawn Johnson and Swagoo, Marcus Spears. I miss my brother Ryan Clark. I know he out here in Vegas somewhere chilling out enjoying the sunshine while I'm in here in the studio early in the morning, but I'll get him on another day. You know why I bring brothers like that up? Because when you got real brothers like that who are about being brothers, they'll hold you accountable if you're wrong. You see, when real knows real, when you hang out with the right people, when you associate yourself with the right people, you don't have to worry about the cloth that you wear, who you are, what you represent, or where you're coming from. There's been times where a guy like Steven Jackson, for all the smoke, has gotten on me and people are sitting up there, oh, Steven Jackson. They don't realize I love that brother because he really, he ain't fake and he ain't phony. I don't agree with him sometimes, but I got love for him because he comes from a unique place. And if he got something to say, he going to roll right up on you and say it. He ain't going to hide. He ain't going to send some hanger on. He ain't going to send some representative or anything like that. He's going to do it for us. So is Matt Barnes. That's why everybody should listen to their podcast because they special dudes. We don't have to agree all the damn time, but I know they're real. I know they're authentic. Okay? My only issue with Steven Jackson is don't think somebody is telling us to say these things. This is how we feel. I'm responsible for my thoughts. I think that everybody knows the kind of position that I put in, that I'm in at this particular moment in time of my career. Not that I've ever done otherwise, but if ever there was a time where I'm free to express myself, it's now, the position that I sit in. And so my point is, these are my thoughts. This is how I feel. And it's based on Kyrie's resume. It's based on what Kyrie has done. Since winning the chip, what have you done? You sat up there, you forced your way out of Cleveland. You sat up there and threw LeBron James under the bus, then you apologized. You departed from Boston after making a promise to stay and then left, but then you want to castigate their fan base. You go to Brooklyn and you don't show up to work more than half the time, but you got your hand out for the money. But how, somehow, some way, we're puppets. Why are we puppets? Why? Because we actually work for our money and we don't take time off every chance we get. This is who Kyrie is, and this is who he has become. He has not progressed. He has regressed. Okay? He's aloof. He's snobbish. He goes about the business of trying to give the impression that he's better and more intellectual and more in tune than other people. And he's willing to throw his own brothers under the bus while talking about brotherhood. Just because we said, damn, bro, can you show up to work? If that ain't egregious, I don't know what is. But like I said before you came on this show, Kendrick Perkins, and I'm going to say it again, Kyrie Irving, more than anything, you are a superstar, spectacular basketball player. Let me tell you what you
Absolutely.
Ain't. Let me tell you what you ain't. You ain't a dude that's going to get the last word. I don't give a damn what microphone you have, what television camera you have, what support you think you have, or whatever the case may be. You ain't going to have the last word. That's reserved for people who actually show up to do their job. We ain't talking about race. We ain't talking about black versus white. We ain't talking about puppets or puppet masters. We ain't talking about the media. We ain't talking about peons. We're talking about you not wanting to show up to work, and you get swept, and you on the court smiling like you on vacation. Literally smiling like you on vacation after getting swept and then going to a post-game locker room in front of the press and talks about how you are going to sit down with KD and management and plot out the future. You didn't even have the decency to really question whether or not you even deserve to be in that room planning anything. That should be reserved for people who show up to work, Kendrick Perkins. That's what should be reserved for.
You know what? I agree. And Stephen A. and Molly, look, let me ask y'all a question, or let me point this out to y'all, okay? And taking it a step further, when we talk about the quote-unquote brotherhood, and we talk about, you know, brothers protecting brothers, and we're talking about the African-American community, okay? Here's the one problem that I have, and not just with Kyrie Irving, but others around that's voicing their opinion. Listen, if we all are fighting the same fight, it don't matter how we're fighting it. And I'm not talking about just basketball. If you choose to go a route and you choose to go out there on the streets and march and you do it your way, I tip my hat to you. But that might not be my preference. I may be doing it in a whole nother area. But the way that I want to do it, or the way that Stephen A. want to do it, or the way that Stephen Jackson, my good brother, want to do it, or the way that even Molly or Marcus Spears want to do it, long as their heart is in the right place and they're doing it for the right reasons, let them do it the way that they want to do it. But at the end of the day, I don't even know why we even got to have this conversation, because again, nobody talked about Kyrie or questioned the character of Kyrie Irving. No one disrespected his family members. We was just talking about a series where he got swept. He got swept. Like that's like you didn't win a game. That's what we're talking about.
That's you. I'm talking about a brother that doesn't want to show up to work half the time. And it cost them that playoff series. That's what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about just a series. I'm talking about a dude that wants to get paid like he's somebody that shows up to work all the time, and he has a resume that shows this brother will take off more vacations than anybody else. And that's guaranteeing himself 6 months of the year off. And he still finds a way to take time off. And it's robbing the fans of Brooklyn. It's robbing NBA fans of his spectacular greatness that we rarely get to see, because he has bigger things to do while he's collecting the NBA check for work he don't put in. That's what I'm saying.
All right, I'll end the segment by saying that you started it, Kendrick, with Kobe Bryant. And I remember having a conversation with Kobe Bryant about social media, and he said he absolutely never would have had it when he played because it's just too much of a distraction.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
All right, quick takes. Let's get it. Joel Embiid had 33 and 10. James Harden 22 and 15 assists as the Sixers eliminated the Raptors 132-97 in Game 6 of their series. Philly will take on Miami. Yes. Stephen A.
Well, they're going to lose that series. But let me tell you this. What I'm talking about when I'm talking about James Harden. Now, that James Harden that showed up last night in Toronto, that brother was dribbling the ball, blowing by his defenders, pulling up for threes, getting to the basket. That's what I'm looking for. that James Harden, then they could beat Miami. If that James Harden shows up on a consistent basis, that is what I have been looking for from James Harden. And Joel Embiid, they wrapped that thumb up nice, and he looked like Joel Embiid.
All right, staying in Pennsylvania, only one quarterback picked in the first round of the NFL draft last night. Kenny Pickett headed to the Steelers at number 20. He's staying home. It was a beautiful moment. The latest, the first quarterback has come off the board in a quarter century. Key, did the Steelers make a mistake drafting Kenny Pickett?
I don't think it was a mistake. I wouldn't have taken any of these quarterbacks in the first round, but they got a lot of intel on him because they share the same building. Mm-hmm. So they kind of know him a little bit. I thought if they were going to do anything, it was going to be Malik Willis out of Liberty, but they decided to pass on him. And I think that's mainly because of familiarity. Mm-hmm. You know, he has been a turnover machine in his career, but they corrected that a little bit last year. The weather won't be a problem because he played college ball there. And I honestly, I don't give a damn what nobody says. Stephen A would say, I don't think he's better than Mitch Trubisky. I just don't. You know, I don't at all. Mitch Trubisky led a team to two playoff appearances, and he got a raw deal dealing with Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
He got a raw deal dealing with Matt Nagy. I mean, come on, clearly everybody can see that now. Yeah. I think he'll do a hell of a job in Pittsburgh, and people going to be like, oh, okay. Sorry about that, Stephen A.
I'm 100% with you. Listen, Key heard me all week. I ain't think none of these dudes first-round quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, and to be honest with you, it's the draft. It's the way the draft laid out. And there is not a lot of you don't have a lot of things to worry about picking a quarterback at 20th in 2022 in the NFL. You're not paying them a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It only worked. It's the best thing you could have ever done if he plays well and wins the job and actually gives you a look at what he could potentially be. And then, too, like I think the psychology of the pick, because we all talked about it and we all agreed that Malik Willis was the best quarterback. Because the athleticism can buy you time until you develop as a quarterback as the quarterback you need to be in the NFL. But when I look at Pickett, I look at the reps, to Key's point, the familiarity of being around Pittsburgh, but ain't nobody, I'm not gonna come on first take and act like I'm excited about it. I had all these quarterbacks third, fourth round draft picks. I think you got to a point if you Pittsburgh where everybody else you would have had legitimately a first-round guy you would have taken outside of Kenny Pickett if they were already gone. But you get a quarterback at 20, and there's value. There's only upside if he has success. Because guess what? If Kenny Pickett don't ever play well and he don't ever play in Pittsburgh, we ain't going to talk about Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. Not going 20. Now, if you would have took him 6 at Carolina and he would have not been the guy, that's a different conversation.
Yeah,
but
20 ain't nothing.
Yeah, to me, Kenny Pickett, to me, can be what Baker Mayfield is.
28-0, Stephen A.
We sat here, and I was asked to be sensitive to the fact that it was such a beautiful, mushy moment with him and his family last night. And
it was beautiful.
And it was gorgeous.
And it was.
And I did that. And then these two here come on TV right in front of my face and say, we went and took him in the first round. This brother right here on the end, Swag Goose, said, I don't know if I'd have taken him from the third round.
Look Stephen,
supposed to be excited.
I can bump my jacket, too.
I'm supposed to be excited. Now, listen. This is what breaks my heart. Because when they say he's a turnover machine, that's what Keyshawn said.
Just look at the numbers.
Tell me. I'm not disputing it. But I took, because I ain't seen the brother. Okay, damn it, I ain't watching Pitt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing it. I watch Ohio State. I watch Michigan. I watch Michigan State who beat Pitt in the bowl game. I'm watching Alabama. Georgia. That's what I'm watching. Pac-12, I like the Sunshine, I like football in the Sunshine. I like to see USC do their thing, Oregon, all that stuff. So I took the liberty of watching Pitt. Keyshawn Johnson is telling me that brother is turnover prone. So let's look at the opposition.
Remember your brother Lou Riddick went to Pitt.
Yeah, that's what I told
him. Damn it, I don't care about Mr. Chippendales right now. I don't care about Mr. Chippendales right now with his pink blazer.
I like that. I like his blazer.
He was clean. He
thought he was clean. I liked the outfit the day before personally, but that's just me. Here's what I'm asking y'all. Massachusetts, Tennessee, Western Michigan, New Hampshire, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, a Clemson that's not Clemson right now, not this past season, okay? Miami, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Syracuse, Wake Forest, and Michigan State. And you're telling me this brother's a turnover machine? How am I supposed to feel about this?
Well,
I mean,
how am I supposed to feel about this? But through the course of his career,
that is not what I asked
what?
You.
We're out of time, so you're lucky.
They might be able to, you got Mike Tomlin there. Run the damn ball, man, play defense, and he can dink and dunk, and we'll call it.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.